I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, getting ready to finish up with the rest of the program. And I thought I'd hear some tweets that came in about our last segment. Let's read. Pomeroy says, remember, keep door area clean with a damp cloth. Avoid the fiery merry-go-round. And people really were surprised. I think this was the most interesting comment we got about using, you know, that baked potatoes. And it's a question of, is this a new meme? Instead of a dumpster fire, we have a microwave potato fire. So people are talking about that. So let's move on to some other interesting stuff, because I think I have a story here that's going to be as interesting, at least, about the fire in the microwave. And that is about marijuana, a new marijuana study that shows that in older people, marijuana, a study in mice, at least, in older mice, showed that when given to the mice, they had a sharper memories by the end of the study. And in fact, they were on par with younger mice who hadn't had any exposure to THC at all. And they published the research in the journal Nature Medicine last week. So what does this mean for those of us with aging human brains? And how do we continue research with marijuana, which is, as you know, classified as a Schedule I drug? And that means federal regulations limit its use in actually conducting research on marijuana. My next guest, I think, has some insights on that. Stacey Gruber is director of the Marijuana Investigations for Neuroscientific Discovery and the Cognitive and Clinical Neuroimaging Core Programs at McLean Hospital. And she's associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard and Cambridge. Welcome to Science Friday.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
So this was done in mice, right? So let's we know how hard that is to move that into people studies.
Right.
So are you saying we should start prescribing pot to everyone who's starting to lose their car keys? Not yet, I'll bet.
Well, that would certainly be an interesting headline, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I think people would be very interested in hearing that. So, you know, I think these types of preclinical or animal studies are always extraordinarily interesting and always very helpful in terms of areas like this where we absolutely positively need more research. You know, these studies of mice, and in this case, you know, three different groups of mice, certainly give us some really interesting ideas about what might be happening. And it actually dovetails pretty nicely with what we see in recreational human marijuana users, in addition to more recent work in medical marijuana patients. So it's interesting.
These were not, you know, in studies sometimes they give massive doses of things to lab animals, but this was not a massive dose. Give us a thumbnail of what happened here.
So in this study, there were basically three groups of mice, and they had young mice that they term young because they're 2 months old, mature mice that are a whopping 12 months old, and old mice, which are, I guess, mice that are about 18 months old. And they basically fit, you know, half the animals in each group are what we call vehicle or control, and the other half are given THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, the main psychoactive constituent of the plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they did this using sort of a subcutaneous pump method. So it's not like they're, you know, somebody said to me, well, are they smoking little tiny joints? No, they're not inhaling it. So it's low dose that's administered sort of subcutaneously into the skin. And what they did was they tested the animals first and determined that, in fact, sort of consistent with what we know about aging, young mice not exposed to THC outperformed the mature and the old mice because, in fact, we get a little bit worse with regard to cognitive tasks as we get older. It's very sad, but it's true.
What did you say?
What was that? Say it again?
Yeah.
There are things we can do, but that's generally the sort of pattern that things tend to follow. Interestingly, the young mice, after being exposed to THC for 28 days, performed significantly worse than the mature or old mice, who actually performed better than the young mice. So a little bit of THC to the young mice made them perform significantly worse. That is, they looked like old mice who hadn't been treated, while the mature and old mice who were treated with THC looked like the young, untreated mice.
Hmm.
Now, that's very interesting and very similar to what we see in what we call early onset exposed individuals who use marijuana or cannabis at an early age, sort of in our studies prior to the age of 16. Those folks tend to look worse than individuals who began using later. That's because the brain is still absolutely positively immature. It's what we call a period of neurodevelopmental immaturity. It's vulnerable. So exposure during this early period really renders them less able to do these tasks relative to the mature and older mice. The really interesting take-home, though, is what's happening in the mature and old mice who are doing better than the young mice after being given a little THC. And that's something that we're starting to see emerge from at least our ongoing longitudinal study of patients certified for medical marijuana use who look as if they get better on cognitive tasks after only 3 months. We follow them for 2 years, but the first set of data comes after only 3 months. They look like they're performing better. That's very interesting.
Well, does it make a difference that the rats were given, as you say, pure investigational THC? It comes from a lab, absolutely pure, as opposed to people who might buy marijuana on the street?
So a good question that really speaks to what is it that they're being exposed to. And this is, again, yeah, purified THC. Very different from what folks on the street, so to speak, recreational users might be getting. But I will say, while there's other cannabinoids present in recreational cannabis, we've seen the levels of THC, that is the potency of products, increase pretty sharply over the last two decades. And that's also important. It's certainly something to keep in mind as we think about the role of THC and other cannabinoids. But, you know, in the human subject studies of the medical marijuana patients, those folks are on products that are high in THC, but we also have folks who are, you know, using products high in cannabidiol, a main non-psychoactive or non-intoxicating constituent. So it's a good question. It may be that a little bit of THC helps sort of upregulate the endocannabinoid system in these aging animals. That's a real possibility.
Is it difficult to investigate marijuana and THC because of the regulatory landscape, the classification that it's in?
Well, it's certainly not the easiest area of investigation to embark upon, that's for sure. The very best thing to do with studies like this is to replicate clinical trials in human subjects. And in fact, currently, there's only really one source from which you can obtain product to administer to human subjects. And we certainly wouldn't ever be in a position to be able to administer products like that to, let's say, our youngest consumers, our adolescents. That's probably not going to happen for all sorts of ethical reasons. But yes, it's an area that's difficult given the current restrictions. We aren't able to use products that patients and consumers are actually using, you know, from dispensaries or their local dealer. We can't assess the impact of those products, which is a real limitation.
So there's good news and bad news about the study.
Good news and bad news. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think this is certainly the kind of thing that absolutely demands more research. And, you know, chronic low-dose treatment with THC or perhaps other cannabinoids may, I think the authors say, be a strategy to help slow down or reverse potential age-related deficits. We'll have to see how that plays out in humans, but it's certainly promising. And, again, I wasn't necessarily expecting what we've seen in our first studies of medical marijuana patients. Very exciting.
Could it be another reason to have medical marijuana for prescribing it?
Yeah, you know, there's so many different indications, and there's always the caveat in many states, you know, you can use it for this indication, this indication, or anything your doctor feels is necessary. So, you know, to improve or increase cognitive performance, typically what we see in the THC-related literature or studies of recreational marijuana really have been reports that THC is detrimental to the brain. But again, mostly those studies focus on individuals who are young.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily know about the impact on older folks. And when you're beyond the level or beyond the period of vulnerability, could it potentially be facilitative? We don't know.
We'll have you back, Dr. Gruber.
Sure, happy to come back.
Stacey Gruber, Marijuana Investigations for Neuroscientific Discovery Program at McLean Hospital and Associate Professor of Psychiatry at Harvard.